now,
the rest of the story. Anna was a woman for all seasons. She was kind of like a figure on Keats' Grecian urn come to life. Truth and beauty were the motivating forces in her life. They were translated in the most practical terms. Anna was a schoolteacher, in the sense that we used to think of schoolteachers, one for whom education was the loftiest conceivable ideal. Her personal passion, however, was architectural design. Anna loved buildings. I mean, the grace of a certain spire or the arch of a window would thrill her beyond words. There was a certain timelessness about Anna, who was in many ways ahead of her time a century ago. Hers was an ultimately logical approach to life, except for that one thing. Anna proposed to control destiny. She was going to shape it to suit herself, and she did change the shape of the world. And that is the rest of the story. Anna was born in Wales. She was 5 when her family emigrated to the United States. For Anna's parents, education was equivalent to salvation. It was the one human activity through which man was capable of rising above the animal state. As a youngster, Anna was infected with this philosophy, came to believe in it with all her heart. She was to become a country schoolteacher, and as a logical extension of her lofty principles, she would pursue beauty in every form. Anna was 29 when she married. Again now, logic ruled her decision. She was at the best age. Her choice had been that of a highly educated man. In her new home, Anna's love of beauty manifested itself everywhere. Fastidious etchings on clean white mats, spotless net curtains, bowls of ferns and flowers tastefully accenting uncrowded rooms. Architectural design became a special source of fascination. Buildings of all kinds. Anna loved buildings, from the most intricate Gothic ornament to the simplest colonial cornice. No facet of an edifice escaped her eye, nor her appreciation. Anna's husband had subscribed to a publication called Old England, a periodical replete with lavish pictures of English architecture. It was the pictures in that magazine which inspired Anna to believe that she could, in fact, control destiny. You see, when Anna learned she was expecting a child, now listen to this, she determined that not only would it be a boy, but that one day he would be a great builder of buildings. And to guide the future of her yet unborn baby, she clipped full-page engravings from that magazine, Old England, portraits of magnificent English cathedrals. She had those portraits placed in simple flat oak frames and hung them on the walls of the room that was to be her son's nursery, where most nurseries would have pictures of dollies or animals or such. Not on this room. Architecture. Before his birth, she intended her son to become an architect. The fine buildings that Anna loved, she declared, one day would be designed by her son. Well, today the evidence of non-biological prenatal influence is debatable, but it never was to Anna. She had no doubt she would extend her love of artful architecture through her unborn child, down through other generations and across a dozen nations. For Anna Lloyd Wright was the mother of Frank Lloyd Wright. Her son was indeed her son. And now you know the rest of the story.